tonight that I was going to do another one, but the Lord just kind of put this on my heart. And I wanted to share it with you. Now, don't you turn in your Bibles to, well, where did it go? There it is, James chapter 2. Now, this is a subject that we're familiar with. But I got some insight on this. I got some insight on the strength of this. And I want you to go with me to verse 21. Now, I don't intend for this to be a real long message tonight. We'll see. James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And he was called the friend of God. Now, we talk a lot about God being a friend. You know, we've got that, we got the song that we do. He calls me friend. And we know that the scripture says that Jesus said to his disciples, I don't call you servants anymore, but now I call you friends. Now, there's a little bit of something there that some people say, well, you know, he's more than a friend. I'm going to show you that there isn't anything more than a friend. Well, he's not just my friend, he's my Savior. Well, we're going to see how important it was that they understood that Abraham was a friend of God, not just an acquaintance of God, not just somebody in his computer system that was a number, not somebody that was just part of a program, not somebody that was just one of humanity that just happened to get in on the saving grace of Jesus Christ, but he was a friend. He was a friend. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. How do you get to believe somebody? Don't you get to believe somebody and get confidence in somebody because you spend a lot of time with them? I mean, if somebody walked up and knocked on your door, you went to the door and there was somebody you didn't even know, and they said, may I borrow your car? You're going to say, yeah, okay, well, I mean, I'll get the keys. No. But if the knock on your door and you go there and there's somebody that you're a friend that you know and you know that you can trust, and they say, I need to borrow your car if you don't mind. And unless you're one of them people that says, I don't care if you were my daddy, you don't borrow my car. You know, there are some people that way. You know, and that's okay. But as far as the things go, if they were someone you were acquainted with, and they were a friend, you'd be more likely to give them whatever it was they needed. He was called the friend of God. How important was it that he was referred to as a friend? You know, sometimes you read stuff, you look at stuff, and you may have been so familiar with it. You know, you can get so familiar with stuff that you don't really read it. You just look at it and think, well, I read it the last time. And you look over it again or you hear it again. But you don't really hear it and you don't really see it because something is in there that you never saw before. And then the next time you read it, you see that and you say, wow. Well, there's something happened here. When I was thinking about this and about being a friend of God, and there was a reference that popped up, and I went to that reference because I thought, huh, I know that scripture, but I don't remember that part. And so I went and I looked. How important is it that Abraham was a friend of God? Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. How many of you recognize that reference? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's the story of Jehoshaphat. That's the story where in the midst of it, he says, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. That's when they prayed and God said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. You remember that story? You know, Jehoshaphat. If you had been watching in the day so long ago and Jehoshaphat and his army were surrounded by the foe. And all of those things. But the first thing that happened after they realized what was going on is that Jehoshaphat called a prayer meeting. He stood before them and he prayed. And he was talking to God and giving God a reason in verse 6 and saying, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? I had never noticed that in his prayer, when he referred to that and prayed that, when he talked about Abraham, he said, your friend forever. Now what's he doing? God, remember, we're descendants of Abraham. You made a promise to Abraham. Hey, Abraham's your friend. Don't forget that. And what's the significance of that? Let me give you some comparisons. We are citizens of the United States, right? All of us in here are citizens of the United States. Therefore, by being citizens of the United States, we have a president at this particular time in the country, and he is all of our presidents. President Obama is everybody's equal president. Right? Even though he is our president, is he your friend? And I don't mean whether or not you think he's doing a good job or not a good job, or whether you think he's for you or against you. I'm talking about if you were to call him up and say, hey, it's me. Can I come to the White House for dinner tomorrow night? Or if you called him and said, hey, it's me, President. I'm having catfish and hush puppies tomorrow night. Would you care to come down and eat? I can promise you, he's not coming. Why? Because he's not your friend. Doesn't mean he's against you. Just means he's not your friend. You know, when you go to the doctor, when you have to go to the doctor, when you got something physically wrong with you, do you go to see the doctor because he's your friend? I go see doctors I never knew before. Don't even think about going to a doctor just because he's a friend. I don't spend any time with my doctors except when I go in the office to see them. Now, there are some people that do, but I just don't happen to have a doctor that I am a friend with, that I'm close enough that we fellowship. You understand the point I'm getting at? You know, there are people that you follow the rules and the regulations and you go to the bank and you can talk to the loan officer, and if you need some money, you can work it out to get it from them. But you don't get it from them because you're their friend. If they just let you have the money because you're their friend, not having it for any other reason, they could get in trouble. You know, if the bank got to looking and they say, why'd you loan that money to them? Well, because they're my friend. But you follow the rules and the regulations and you're treated right. And you're part of the system. And you have all of the benefits. They can't discriminate against you because of race, religion, sex, or nationality, or ethnic background, or nothing. They can't discriminate against you. They have to follow the rules, and they have to do what's been laid out to be done. But they don't have to be your friend. You see what I'm saying? Friendship is a step closer to anybody that's not there with other people. And yeah, you can have more than one friend. You can have several friends. But friends are people that you know. Friends are people that know you. Friends are people that you're comfortable with. Friends are people that understand you. You know, there's some of our friends that understand us and might not particularly like the way we are. I mean, I got friends. If I could, I'd change them to suit me. But they probably think they'd change me to suit them. So, you know, I got church members that I'd change if I could, but it's not my responsibility to change. I just love you. And I'm not saying, you know, the present company excluded, maybe. But more than all of that, do you know when the Bible says that they held all things in common? And there's another word that we use for the word fellowship. And the Greek word is the Greek word koinonia. It means to hold in common. To be of like quality and like thought. And to have fellowship with one another is to become personally acquainted with each other to the point that there is a bond of love, agape, that's created. Unconditional love, not emotional love, not a physical love, but a loving heart, loving spirit, joined together by something greater than ourselves. And you can't tell me that Jehoshaphat wasn't bringing it to God's attention that Abraham was his friend. He knew that carried some weight. And I want you to know, when you look at it like this, well, let me read it one more scripture before I say what I was going to say. If I can find it here. Oh, I'll find it. I just don't know how quick. Well, I find it the easy way. I go back to James. Isaiah 41. I was close. I was looking in 40. Verse 8, Isaiah 41, verse 8. If your chapter has a heading, does it say something similar to Israel is assured of God's help? That's what mine says at the beginning of chapter 41. Israel assured of God's help. In other words, God speaking to them and giving them a guarantee that they were going to get His help regardless of what they'd been through, regardless of how bad it was, regardless of how long it'd been, regardless of whether they had heard from Him in a while. He's sending the prophet to tell them they're going to get God's help. And He tells them what He was going to do for them. Keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Then he goes down through there and he elaborates on that. And he comes to verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. The descendants of Abraham, my friend. Why does he keep referring to him as his friend? He doesn't say, when he's talking to him, he says, my friend, my friend, my friend. Now, when some others are referring to him, they refer to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The God of Abraham. But he says, I am Abraham's friend. Abraham's friend. It's awesome that God became in Jesus Christ our Savior. That through His promise of the covenant, He became our healer, our deliverer, our provider. All of the great and awesome things that God has said that He was to us. But none of them invoke the relationship with God that you get when you hear He's God's friend. Now, do I want to be a friend to God? Or do I just want to be one of the system, you know? Get what I'm entitled to, you know? I'm a citizen of the United States and I get $6,200 on my Social Security. If I'm a citizen of the United States, I want to get my tax refund. You know, we get all of these things because it's part of the covenant. But we need to understand that we need to step into a relationship where we can say, Jesus is my friend. Not in a casual way. Not in a way that says, you mean He's just your friend? He's not these other things? Hey, President Obama is your president. He's my president. Is he your friend? Governor Beshear, he's your governor, he's my governor, he's your friend. Would he treat you right within his powers if he was righteous? Sure. And you see, the thing about it is, we don't have to vie for that because we have God's promise. And guess where I'm going? How about Galatians 3? Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was known as a friend to God. So then we go back over here, and Jehoshaphat says, Lord, I'm coming before you asking you in the name of Abraham, your friend. And then he comes over here in Isaiah and he says, I'm going to do this because of Abraham, my friend. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, do you walk in the power of God because of what you did, because you kept the law, or because you heard that God wanted you to have that, and so you just took Him up on it? You heard He wanted to save you, so you got saved. You heard he wanted to baptize you in the Holy Ghost, so you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You heard that he wanted this power to flow through you, so you just let it. How'd you do that? Because you heard by faith that all of this was possible. You did all this just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Here Paul is making a connection again between us and Abraham, who was a friend of God. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He's saying, just as Abraham did, that's what you have done. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. It's not the descendants of the Jewish people. It's not the descendants of the 12 tribes. It's those who are of faith that are sons of Abraham. And what happened when a covenant was made with a parent? When a covenant was made with a parent, the children and the grandchildren and anybody that desired to be in it was in it. How did Abraham establish his relationship with God? By becoming a friend, by believing him, and having faith in him. And that's how he got his righteousness. Had the children of Israel have to determine what they were before God? Well, they were given the law. Now, let me ask you this. What kind of condition would the children of Israel been in had they been given all of the law, all of the Mosaic law, except the law of the sacrifices? You realize they would have been hopeless? It was the sacrifices at the end of every year that atoned for the sins of the people, not their keeping the law. Every year. And when they brought what they were supposed to bring, they believed God that through this act of what they were doing, that they were right with God. The difference is you and I don't believe that we're right with God because of the act that we're doing. We believe that we're right with God because of what Jesus Christ did. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. All those that are of faith have all of the privileges and the rights of Abraham. And what was his greatest right that people down through the ages called upon when they prayed to God? God, he's your friend. I'm coming to you because I'm a descendant of Abraham, your friend forever. Now, we've had something added to it. We've had something added to it by someone, and let's read on. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Why? Because that's what Abraham started. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. In other words, if you're going to depend on the law, you're going to have to live by the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. What was the biggest blessing that Abraham got from God? To be his friend. To be his friend. Do you remember the little scripture in Proverbs that says, if a man desires a friend, he must show himself friendly? If there is anyone that does not feel like that God is their friend, it's because they haven't shown themselves friendly to Him, not because He's withheld His friendship from us. Well, He's my friend. I can get away with anything. Is that the way we treat our friend? Well, if He's my friend, you know, He'll just let it slip. He'll let it slide. You know, He won't require anything. Is that the way friendship works? So, you know, I guess you could set yourself up on either pole of the idea and say, well, you know, I don't think there's a lot more things more important than being a friend to God. You know, you got to understand it. He's this and He's that and He's everything else. I know that's important. But looking at it from the other side, what greater privilege can we possibly have than knowing that God looks at us as a friend? Doesn't relieve us from our obligations. Doesn't cut us any slack in our commitment to the kingdom. No matter if I were a personal close friend with the president, if he's a man of integrity, if it came down to ruling on me about something, either because he was the president or because he was my friend, then he should rule because he's the president. And if I had violated, if the ruling was against me, he'd have to, and that's the righteousness of God. He's not going to let us get away with anything. Even though He is our friend, He will reign over us as our God. But I tell you what, I'd rather know that I'm a friend with God than to know that I'm just down here and I try to avoid Him half the time to stay out of trouble, and realize that one day I'm going to have to answer to Him. But when you think about God being your friend, think about it as the highest privilege you can have, considering the office of God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight. We thank You, Lord God, that You didn't come down here and die for a bunch of nameless people. That You didn't set up a program and give us all a number. That You, Lord God, are so intimately friendly with us, so